Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shiurim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now on Masachet Baba Batra, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, continuing in our analysis of the first Mishnah. And as I mentioned in the first podcast, in this podcast, we will look at the analysis of the Gemara of the different types of stones, Gvil, Gazit, Kfisin, and Levedin, and see how they arrived at the conclusions of what they mean. Makom Shenagul Livnot. Now, Gvil, Avnedo L'Meshaftya, unhewn stones. Gazit avin mishafya, and gazit literally means ligzos, hewn stones. And how do we know that? Tichtiv kol ela avanim yikarot kmidot gazit. This is when Shlomo built the Beit Hamikdash. He built them with hewn stones. Kmidot gazit. Now kfisin arche. That means that these are bricks that are put lengthwise. Levenin livni. These are bricks that are put widthwise. Now as you see, the kfisin are narrower. Now, Amarle Rava Bray de Rava Lavashi, Mimai de Gvil Avnid Lomashafin in Huvahai Tefach Yeter the Moshe de Karnata. How do you know that Gvil means unhewn stones? And the extra Tefach, 6 over 5 for the Gazit, is because of the jutting out stone. Dilma Palga de Gazitu. Maybe it's just half a Gazit. In other words, a Gazit is 5. And Gvil is 2.5. Vahitefach Yeter the Veni Orvihu. And so you have 2.5 and 2.5, and plus another tefach in the middle for the mortar. Kedikamrin, kfisin arche, levenin levenin, vahitefach yeter, levenin orvi. Just like we configure with the kfisin and levenin, kfisin are half-size levenin that are put together, and the extra tefach is because of the mortar. Amalei, velitamech, kfisin arche menalan. So he said, turn around and say, how do you know kfisin are that? Elegamor gamirila. The answer is we have a tradition that we know what kfisin are. Gvil nami, avnei lo meshafi, gamor gamirila. The fact that gvil means unhewn stones, we also have a tradition. Ika damri, it's possible that this conversation happened in the opposite direction. Same conclusion. Racha breder of avil ravashi, my dahai kfisin orchinin hu, how do you know that really they are bricks? And the extra tefach of kfesin is for the mortar. Dilma, my kfesin, avdin lomashafin. Maybe kfesin are just simply unhewn stones. The extra tefach over the levenim are because of the jutting out pieces. Can I come in and gvil avdin lomashafin, gazit avdin shafin, just like we say with gazit and gvil? So I'm related to Tavek Gvil Avnu Meshafin Milan. Again, how do you know Gvil is what it is? So either way, we end up saying that our understanding of what these four words mean is based on tradition, and once you have that, it's kind of unassailable. Now Amar Abaye Shwamin Akobeni Uvi Tefach. Abaye says from here you can understand that the amount of space that you should have between rows of bricks is one tefach of mortar. And this is for contracting and for land allotment, etc. Now, honey, with the bitina, one way of looking at it is that's only true about cement. If you're going to fill it with rubble, with stones, then you need more space. Some people see the opposite. Honey, mili berichsa. A tefach is for stone. A bitina, lo bai kuliha. If it's cement, maybe you need less. Okay, now, lememra, here's the question. Remember that from the later Mishnah, that we already saw, the wall is going to be 4 amotai. So now, if you're telling me that in gazit, ihave putya hamshakai ilo lokai, remember the hewn stones could be any size. Why are we picking 5 tvachim wide? So it obviously means that if you're going to build it 4 amotai, you need 5 tvachim wide. That's the architectural base that you need. Ilo lokai, so amatraksin ave gavoa tlatin amotai. In Shlomo's Mikdash, there was a wall built up to divide between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim, and that wall was called the Amatraksin. It was only 6 tefachim, 1 tefach more than this, and it went 30 amot high. So if we're using any sort of a ratio here, it should be that to build something 4 amot high would need 1 or 2 tefachim wide. Why 5? The answer is Kevin Deika Tefach Iterakai. The answer is the 6th tefach makes all the difference in the world. Now it has a strong anchor. So parenthetically, I'd ask, why in the second Beit HaMikdash was there no Amatraksin? Instead, we had the 2 parochot, remember, from Masachet Yoma. So, kikai beplatin kai, the answer is that it can only stand if the Mikdash is 30 high. Tfelo kai, and the second Mikdash was taller, we're talking about Herod's rebuilding, than the first Mikdash. How do we know the second Mikdash is taller? When they're building the second Mikdash, Nevuat Chagai, Hashem says, this bayit is going to be greater than the first one. So Rabbi Shmuel, what's the interpretation? It's from Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar, either in Bavel or in Tveria, there was this machloket. Chadamar Bevinyan, one said it's going to be a greater building. Chadamar Bishanim, that it's going to last longer. Either way, they both happened. The second Mikdash was around for 600 plus years, and the building was larger. So we see it's a larger building. Now, for the Avdus Latin Amin Bavinyan, so why didn't they copy Shlomo's piece and build a 30 high with Binyan? V'idach Navid Parochet, and whatever's left, build with a Parochet. So, kikai tlatinam hata nami agav tikra maziva havekai. No, 30 only works if it attaches to a ceiling on top, not if it's half hanging. Potikra maziva lo havekai. V'lavin ma de'efshav minyan. So, why didn't you just build part of it as much as high as you could go b'minyan? V'lavin idach parochet. And then the rest make a curtain. So, mavaya gemiri, because we had a tradition. Ikulu b'minyan, ikulu b'parochet. Either the whole thing is built, is stone, or the whole thing is curtain. Ikulu b'minyan kimi mikdash, ikulu parochet b'mishkan. You have a model. Either you have the model of Mikdash Shlomo to build the whole thing with rocks, or stone, or the whole thing with a curtain that you have as a model from the Mishkan. Okay, now Ibayaruhu. Now the question is asked in our Mishnah. Hain v'sidan udom hain below sidan. When we give the measure of the stones, does that include plaster or not? Nachman Yitzchak Mistabra Hain v'sidan. He says it makes sense that the measure is complete, including the plaster. Sagra Hain below sidan, because if you just think that it's 3 tfachim or 4 tfachim, whatever it may be without the plaster, then in the shiure, why didn't you mention 3 tfachim and a smidgen and an etzba? Allah Shvam Nahin Vesidan must be complete. No, the Olam Emelachahin Velosidan. Really, the measure is just the stones without the plaster. The came into Lo Havet Tfei Lo Tani, because it's a tiny little measure, they didn't mention it. Ayvak Tani Ovenin Zelon Ten Tefachim Echzav Zelon Ten Tefachim Echzav. What do you mean? Our Mishnah does mention half Tfachim. In Levenin, you have to give 1.5. In Gazit, you have to give 2.5. So the answer is Hatam Chazit Tzterufe. That half and that half together makes a Tefach. Toshma Korashi Amru. This is in Eruvin. We talk about a korah at the top of the mavui, rechava kedei lekabel ariach. It has to be wide enough in order to put on ariach. On it, variach, hatzil v'nash, gilon tfachim. It's half of a brick of 3 tfachim. And it's 1.5 wide. So the answer is hatam berav ratav. There we're talking about one that's larger. Dekanam editani shoshlosha tfachim. Because you see, it's one that's 3 tfachim. Chlad de'ikazutra. So there are obviously ones that are a little bit smaller. And Shmamina, that therefore, in our Mishnah, it does not necessarily include the seed, and it's a tiny little measurement that we're not going to mention. Alright, Amar Rav Chista. Lo listor inish beknishta andabani beknishta achriti. You're not allowed to tear down a shul until you have another one built up. Ikadam yishum pshuta. It may be because of neglect. You'll tear it down, then you'll never go around or building it. Ikadam yishum sluyer. Because of tefillah, you have to have makom to a place to daven. My benayu, what's the difference between these two reasons? If you have a place to daven, set aside, even if it's not a Beit Knesset, so you could tear down the Beit Knesset and you could daven there. And even if you're neglectful, you still have a place to daven. But if the issue is neglect, it's still a problem. Now, Marema Razutra Satri Uvanu Bekaita Besitva Uvanu Bekisitva Bekaita. In Bavel, the summer months would get very hot. In the winter, it was rainy and sometimes even snowy in some parts. So they would have a different shul for the summer and for the winter. So Marema Marzutra used to tear down the winter shul in the spring and build up the summer shul, and vice versa. Evidently, they weren't concerned about Rav Chista's admonition because since they would have to build the other one for either proper shelter or proper air, there was no concern of neglect, and they built it right away. Amar Rav Avinu Ravashi, Gavu Zuze Umachti. Let's say that they collected the money to build a new shul. Can you then destroy the old shul? Might. Maybe after you've collected the money, some great need, like saving some captives, will come, and you can have the money, and you'll never build a shul. So, what if they have all the materials lying there, and everything ready to go? Might. You could still have an emergency happen. You might sell the materials and give the money to the redeemed captives. So Yachi Afilu Banu Namu, so that's true even if you build the shul. Amar Lei, Tirati Di Inshilu Mazabnu, they're not going to sell it once it's already built up. By the way, this entire thing is only if you don't see rot in the walls of the shul that exists. But if you do see such a thing, satriya money, you have to build, destroy it and then rebuild it. Kihad Ravashi, there's a story about Ravashi. Chazavatiyu avachnishta de Matamachsiya. And Ravashi's town was, of course, Matamachsiya. And he saw that there was some rot in the walls of the shul. What did he do? Satre va'ayu lepurya lahatam. He tore it down and he put his own bed in there. V'lo afke adamatkin leishvichi. He didn't leave until they had fixed even the rain spouts. In other words, he made sure to stay there because then he would make sure that they would finish this and there would be no neglect. But you did have to tear it down. Uvavam Buta. So now this takes us to a story about Herod and one of the Chachamim named Baba ben Buta. Hechi aspila eitz alahudas the mitzvah of the Beit HaMikdash. So Rav Chista's halacha should be, by Kal Homer, should apply the Beit HaMikdash. You can't tear down the Mikdash until you've got the other one built, as it were, which of course is somewhat impossible. But why did Baba ben Buta give this advice to Herod, right around the turn of the millennium, to tear down and then rebuild the Beit HaMikdash? As we know, the most glorious days of the second Mikdash were Herod's times. Rav Chista's admonition. So, Ibaitema, one reason was Tiyuachazabe, that the building had some rot in it. When you're dealing with royalty, you don't have to worry. Once they make a commitment to do something, they're going to do it. If the kingdom says they're going to uproot some mountains, they'll uproot the mountains and they won't change their mind. In other words, once they commit to something, they're not going to change their mind. So once Herod says, I'm going to build, it's not a problem, so there's no neglect issue. And of course, there's no tefillah issue because that's not what it's about. Now, here's the story of Herod. Herod, according to the story, was a slave who belonged to the Hasmonean family. Now, Tainav Botatinoket, there was a girl in the Hasmonean family that he took after. Yomachad Shamahu Gavra Bat Kola de Amar Kol Avda de Marid Hashta Matzlach. He heard some sort of a bat call. He heard a man saying that said that any slave who rebels today will be successful. So what did he do? Kam katlino luchulu marvute, shayra lehi yonukti. He killed all of his masters, meaning all the Hasmoneans. And by the way, there was something of a bloodbath when Herod took over. And he left this one girl alive. He chazati yonukta de kabai leminsava. When he saw she wanted him, that he wanted to marry her, slika leigra v'ramakola. She ran up on top of a roof and yelled out, Amra kol man da'ati v'am reit chashmonoi katina avdahahu. Anybody who says, I'm the remnant of Beit Chashmonoi, you should know that he's a slave. Why? Because the only one left is this girl. And I jumped off and died. You know, she's about to jump off and kill herself. So is anybody who claims to be a Hasmonean really is a slave because this slave has rebelled and is taking the crown for himself. Tamna Sheva Shanin Meduvsha. So evidently Herod caught up with this girl and he buried her in honey for 7 years. Ikadami Baaleha, there's one version that says that he had relations with her. Ikadami Lo Baaleha. Ikadami La Baaleha. Hadatamna Lituva the Yitzra. The reason that he buried her was to try to appease his Yitzra. So how did Tan, what did he keep around for if he wasn't going to be with her? So he'll have a reputation that he married into royalty. Now, Amar Man, Darish, and this was Herod's issue. Is up until now, the rabbis weren't necessarily happy with the kings, and they were for Kohanim, but nonetheless, they were proper Jews. He said, the Pasuk says that when you appoint a king, he has to be Mikara Vachacha, one of your brethren. Who is it who publicizes this Rabbanan? So, Kam Kavim, the Kul Rabbanan, he killed all of the rabbis. Shavke, the Baba Ben Buta, Mishkal Eitzamine. He left one rabbi, Baba Ben Buta, in order to take counsel with him. Right? And he killed all of them because they were the ones who were publicizing that he's not fit to be a king. Ahadale Klila Diyali. Alright, so, Herod put a garland of thorns around the head of Baba Ben Buta. Nakrinu le'enem, and he poked his eyes out. Yomachar atav yativ kameh. So he came and he sat in front of him. Mar chazim mar hayav de bisha maiko avid. So he said, "You see this terrible slave, what he's done? Amar le my avid le." So he said, "What should I do to him? Amar le nilati mar, curse him." Don't even curse a king in secret. In other words, Herod came, and Baba Ben Buta supposedly didn't know who he was, and he tried to find out what Baba Ben Buta really thought of him. He says, this guy's not a king. So at least treat him like a wealthy person. In the same pasuk it says, don't curse a rich person even in your bedroom. At least he's the head of the government. So his response was only if he behaves like amcha. The Herod isn't behaving like that. I'm afraid of him. He said, is there anybody who will go and tell him that we're the only ones who are sitting here? Nobody's going to tell him. In other words, it's just you and me sitting here. That's what Herod's saying to him. It's just you and me sitting here, and nobody's going to go tell him. So he said, the bird will bring the news. News gets around. If I say something, he's going to hear. Then Herod said, that's me. If I knew the rabbis were so careful not to curse me or speak ill of me, I wouldn't have killed them. So what should I do? How can I make up power for myself? You extinguish the light of the world. Extinguish the Torah. Involve yourself with the light of the world. It's a play on the word Venaru. All of the nations will stream to the Beit HaMikdash in Yeshayahu's famous vision, the word Naharav, light. So, the other possibility is that he blinded the eyes of the world. The Sanhedrin is the eyes of the community. He should go engage in building up the eyes of the world. The Mikdash is the apple of our eye. So Herod said, I'm afraid, I helped build the Mikdash, I'm afraid of what the Romans will say. So send an agent to go ask. It'll take him a year to get there. Let him stay there a year and come back for a year. But in the meantime, you could build it. So Avarachi, he did it. So we see Bava and Buta was the one who gave Herod the advice to destroy and then rebuild. The message that he finally got back from Rome was, if you didn't destroy it, don't destroy it. If you did, don't build it. And if you did do both, then what kind of bad slave is it that after you do something, you ask questions? And the message they sent back to him, was even if you have your weapons and you have an army, nonetheless, we have your Sefer Yochsin. We know who you are. You're not a king. You're not a son of a king. You're a slave. And the Romans are kind of not blackmailing, but extorting him and saying, you better not make any moves. Hurus avda klanya mitavid. He turned himself into a free man. Now, my racha, by the way, what does racha mean? Machuta. Rach u'mashuach melech. Rach really means soft. And that's what David says when Yoav killed Avner. I am very soft and anointed and b'nei tzuriyah kashimani. Vaitem me'achav yikru lefanav avrech. The word that they called Yosef in Mitzrayim. Ami misha lo ra'a binyan hordos lo ra'a binyan na'em yamav. But the people nonetheless said, somebody who did not see Herod's Beit Mikdash never saw a beautiful building. But my banya, what did he build it with? Amarama ba'avne shesha umarmara. He built it with white and green marble. He could amri ba'avne kuchla shesha umarmara, or possibly with some blue marble also. Apek safav ayel safa. He had a lip going out and going up and out and up. Kiechem and kabal sida, so that the limestone would come on it. Lime would come on it. Several the mishul bedava. He wanted to coat it with gold. Amar darban and shavke the hachishap ritzvei. He said, leave it alone the way it is. The mechziki idvatadiyam. It looks like waves. Beautiful building. Okay, so now the question is, v'amin buta hechi avin hachi. How did he give him that advice? V'amar v'yudam aravi, temer rabbi shuvan levi, name man nanash daniyam, neshi si etzal Nebuchadnezzar. Why was Daniel punished? Because he gave Nebuchadnezzar an etzah how to atone for his bad deeds. Shtemar lahin, malka malki milki yishpar alach v'chatech b'tztaka pruk. You can atone for your sins by giving tztaka, v'aytach mechan anin, by helping anim. You'll have a long king. right? And everything came to the king. In other words, he was successful. And says that after 12 months, the gzeira happened, which means that he got some sort of a break. So yibaitem ashani avda di chayv mitzvot. And Eved Kanani is chayv mitzvot, so therefore Rabban Buta wanted to help him out and give him a kapara for killing the Rabbana, and here's how you do it. Yibaitem ashani beit hamikdash di lo malchut lo mitbani. Without Herod, it wouldn't be built, and it has to be built better. Taniel menal on the anash. By the way, how do we know that Taniel was punished for helping Nebuchadnezzar? So, if it's the drasha that Esther's eunuch who came and spoke and brought her messages to Mordechai back and forth, Hatach was really Daniel. If you say he's called Hatach because he was cut down from his greatness, then I understand he was punished. But the opposite drasha that says he's called Hatach because he's the one who really establishes all the words of the king, and without his say-so it doesn't happen. My Ikalamemar, so how do we know that Daniel was punished? The answer is that's why he was thrown into the lion's pit, because of giving this advice to Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, back in the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah said, Hakol kamin haga medina, gvil gazit kfisin levezinos, hakol kamin haga medina. Hakol atuimai, what's there to include? Atui atra de nehigi behutza vedafnan, a place where they use just little sticks. If that's the minig, then that's the wall you build. Fiachan navala kotel makom vanim shel shnehem. So therefore, if the wall falls, it belongs to both them, the space and the wall, and the material. So pshita, obviously. So lo tzricha dafel l'shuta l'chad minayu. Ravaninu l'chad l'shuta didei. Either it all fell into one guy's property, or he moved it all into his property. Ma'udetan avi yidacha mosav chelo v'raya kamash palan. I might think that the other fellow should be considered a mosav chelo v'raya and have to prove that the wall was really originally built by both partners, and otherwise the other fellow keeps it. The answer is that he does not have to prove that, and the assumption is that it was built by both. Okay, we'll pause at this point, pick it up on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.